It's rarely, if ever, a pleasant experience. But I suspect that most of us have had the experience of being rejected. From kids in grade school, you wanted them to be your best friend and you wanted to be theirs, and you're rejected. That pretty girl or handsome boy in high school, rejection. Some folks experience rejection from colleges and universities, from teams or organizations. Some folks have been rejected for a job promotion or a new position. Some folks experience rejection at their place of work. While we would like to think of ourselves as good enough and smart enough to be liked by everybody, doggone it, that's not always the case. And we can't force someone to like us. We can't force someone to love us. There's a saying among us priests that every pastor has the potential to make every parishioner happy. Some parishioners are happy when the pastor first arrives. Some people are happy when they get to know the pastor a little bit. And some folks are happy whenever the pastor dies or gets transferred. You just have to wait your time. Wait your turn, and everybody eventually is happy. But the fact of the matter is rejection. The experience of being dismissed, disliked, refused, and not accepted can be discouraging. Sometimes it's puzzling, and oftentimes it's painful. But it's not healthy or authentic to constantly and desperately try to be liked or to be loved. Jesus is having another conversation with the chief priests and elders. Those religious leaders who chose not to change their mind and do the will of the Heavenly Father, now he tells them another parable about tenants and a son who experience non-acceptance. They are rejected. And those chief priests and those elders, they are the ones who rejected the stone that became the most important stone in the building. The cornerstone. The idea of Israel, God's people rejecting God, stands at the heart of that parable. And people rejecting God, that's nothing new. It happens now. We read surveys and newspaper articles. That parable told by Jesus thousands of years ago continues to be experienced now. There are surveys and articles indicating that many Christian denominations are experiencing a decline in membership. Folks are choosing to reject organized religion for some type of spirituality. And oftentimes that spirituality is pretty vague in terms of what they believe about God or what they expect God to do. But as we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, we gather as members of the Catholic Church. We are a part of an organized religious group. And truth be told, there's no other organized religious group that does more in terms of education, health care, and service to the poor than the Church. But if you know anything about the Church, you also know that part of our history is disorganized. And part of our life experiences are disorganized. Because you can't organize the majesty and the mystery of God. You can't organize the realities of life. You see, we believe that we are a part of a story of salvation where the unfolding presence of God continues to take place. A real God involved in a real universe inhabited by real people. Our faith involves spirituality and the natural reality. In fact, as Catholic Christians, we believe that the supreme being, the spiritual being God, became flesh in Jesus Christ, like us in all things but sin. And so there's a connection between spirituality and the created universe. And during this month of October, which is traditionally designated as Respect Life Month, we as church are encouraged and asked to respect life and not reject it. Divine life and human life are gifts from the hands and the heart of God. And at a time when there is so much violence against human life, unborn and born, God's people, who are brothers and sisters to each other, are, in the words of St. Paul, we are to think about and we are to do what is true and honorable, loving, pure, and gracious. We are to do what is just. And rejecting divine life, rejecting human life, can result in horrific violence, creates fear and mistrust, and damages the bond of solidarity that is to exist between all people. We've gathered once again as members of the church for prayer and for petition and for thanksgiving. We yearned for the peace about which St. Paul speaks, the peace of God that has the power to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For every person killed or injured last Sunday in Las Vegas, there were so many others who were courageous, heroic, and caring. For every person killed or injured last Sunday, there are so many other lives grieving, hoping, wondering, and being radically changed. And what happened last Sunday is part of a much larger pattern of what happens whenever we reject the reality of divine life and the dignity, the precious dignity of every human life. Within the kingdom of God, men and women, young and old, are invited to accept and respect life. And at this Eucharist, grapes harvested from some vineyard someplace and wheat harvested from some field who knows where will become the body and blood of Christ, the Lord of life. And our communion with him this morning has the power to enrich our lives abundantly and provide what we need to enrich, embrace, and respect the lives of others.